Okay, so let me start. I'm going to start with this slide to actually explain what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about data assimilation as a part of the forecasting system, advanced forecasting systems today. And I'm going to talk about that because it is kind of my impression that data assimilation didn't yet get enough attention in this energy industry community. And in my opinion, it does need more attention and more actually application because it can actually improve forecast a lot. So let me go back to the original, to the first slide, that just to state out the outline. We actually would like to understand the energy industry needs for data assimilation, and we would like to contribute by developing some data assimilation methods that might be, that we hope might be desirable for this industry. And then I will explain some ideas how that can be done. So if you look into the forecasting system, you can see that it has data assimilation as a component. It has the forecast models as a central components. It also has post-processing. And basically, post-processing and data assimilation are the means to enter the new data, the observation, into the system. And what happens, for example, if you have some local data, power production data, load, demand, that all goes through the post-processing. And actually, we had a lot of talks about that. There are many different really, really good methods for post-processing, neural networks, gradient boosting, Gerald just mentioned about Weibull distribution fitting. There are so many good methods. It almost seems you cannot even improve more. That's how much they can do. But also you can do a lot through data assimilation, through assimilating new observations, which are maybe globally distributed, such as observations from radar, observations from radars or from satellites, such as there is a satellite called Global Precipitation Measuring Mission satellite, which actually provides global distribution of clouds and precipitation data, and that can be actually very helpful for, say, even hydro forecasting, say, solar forecasting, wind, everything. And of course, we want to look into this problem a little bit more generally. We want to look into the whole problem. I already mentioned we want to have hydro forecasting, we want to have solar, we want to have wind forecasting. And actually what we want to do, we want to have these coupled models. Like the forecast model is not just the weather forecasting model, it's a coupled. It could be coupled hydro, say Wharf hydro, or coupled atmospheric and chemistry model, like Wharf chem. And if you have coupled model, you have a better chances of predicting the whole energy process that you are interested in. But actually what you need to do, you actually have to have coupled data assimilation and also maybe coupled post-processing as well. So there is a lot of work being done in research community and also in weather forecasting centers, just in developing these complex forecasting systems that include coupled models and advanced data assimilation methods. But where is the industry in there? Kind of industry is sitting on a side and watching what's happening and using a lot of forecasting products. And industry is also, as I mentioned, paying a lot of attention to developing very advanced post-processing methods. But so far, data assimilation methods didn't get enough attention, or I could even say they were almost neglected. And that was the motivation. We are trying to maybe improve that situation, because I think we are losing a lot by not taking a chance to assimilate some new observations and actually improve the forecast models. And one of the things, of course, why data assimilation is not used that much so far in this industry community, one of the big obstacles is that advanced data assimilation methods are computationally intensive. And the other big obstacle is that advanced data assimilation methods are not always user-friendly. Sometimes in order to apply them, you have to be some kind of a specialist expert in data assimilation. Maybe you need to understand something that's called adjoint model. I'm not sure how many people here in the audience used or ever developed adjoint model. But if you never developed adjoint models, maybe some of the data assimilation methods that are considered state of the art are out of reach for you, because if you want to maybe add new observations, new satellite observations or LIDAR or SODAR, maybe you need to develop that adjoint model to do that. So it's not always easy, and it requires people resources. So that's another obstacle for implementing and using advanced data assimilation methods in the industry community. And how can we improve on that? I'm proposing that we try to develop still advanced methods, but computationally efficient and user-friendly. Try to avoid these adjoint methods. And then let's see what we can do. And I just would like to mention there are already efforts. I was happy to hear during this during the conference sessions that there are efforts in actually getting data assimilation closer to the industry applications. One of the efforts worth mentioning is definitely WFIP-1, WFIP-2. Both of these experiments have a really strong data assimilation component with the goal of improving and applying data assimilation methods for the purposes of improving wind forecasting. Also, there is a project led by NOAA Power Project over the coast, sea coast. There were even talks about data assimilation of aerosol. This morning, we heard about data assimilation developments under various projects by NCAR. And also, there is a mentioning of data assimilation development, high-resolution data assimilation development by CoastWire project. And also, I don't know if many people are aware, there are data assimilation softwares available and maintained by the community. These softwares are NOAA NSEP Grid Point Statistical Interpolation Hybrid Method. That's a NOAA operational data assimilation method, but it is maintained and supported by the Development Testbed Center. And also, there is a community data assimilation code maintained by NCAR. It is called DART, Data Assimilation Research Testbed. So, however, with all these efforts, my impression is that data assimilation penetration into industry is still slow. And if we have slow data assimilation penetration, I think the renewable energy penetration is going to be slow as well. So what can we do? Actually, what we did, we tried to consult all the possible expertise that we are aware of, all the possible developments in data assimilation methods. and try to think what is the best that we can just pick and combine and maybe come up with something that's really good for just the energy. And what we came up is that the best is to use ensemble variational hybrid methods. Hybrid methods means that ensemble methods and variational methods are combined using some of the best properties. I don't have really time to explain what that means, but there are papers, actually, one of the methods that I was participating in developing was the method called maximum likelihood ensemble filter. But a really good method is the NOAA GSI hybrid, which is an operational method. The other important thing that I already mentioned is coupled data assimilation, coupled models and coupled data assimilation. And very important thing for the possibility of reducing the ensemble size and reducing the cost, which is our goal, is to use multi-model ensembles. Actually, you can use multi-model ensembles, different models for different ensemble members. You can actually take those members, say, from NSAP or from ECMWF. These members are available. We don't maybe have to run models. So that's the advantage of industry. That's not the advantage of ECMWF, because ECMWF doesn't have somebody else to take ensembles from. But they have computers, they can do that. And the same thing with the NOAA and SAP. They can run their own ensembles, but we can use them to improve data assimilation for industry. So that's one of the goals, to reduce the cost. And there is a mentioning by Dr. Liu from the IBM Center about combining different ensembles. I think he mentioned during this conference. But it was in the post-processing. What I'm talking here is applying for ensemble data assimilation. And again, user-friendly framework. That's critical because you don't want to develop too many codes, too many models, if you just want to add some new observations. And one of the ways to do that is really nicely shown in the community code Dart. Dart is really user-friendly, and we are borrowing some from that code as well. So what we came up with is the best solution so far. That's just our first try to the so-called best solution. We are using multi-model hybrid approach. We call it MM hybrid. And this is advanced because it uses the best methods available. By theory, it should be advanced, but we should see whether the results are advanced as well. It is computationally efficient, and it is user-friendly. So let me just point out the importance of coupling. If you remember, I mentioned we have to have coupled models, and we have to have coupled data assimilation. If you, for example, assimilate some variables into a coupled model that has dust coupled with atmospheric variables, what happens if you change wind? There is XA minus XB. That means analysis minus background, or that means the difference between analysis and the previous field, the impact of the analysis. If you change wind due to data assimilation, due to, say, radio sound observations, you have to change dust as well. And that's what the coupled data assimilation tells you through the complex covariances that are developed by the coupled model. You change dust, and you see on the right-hand side, even though dust is not observed. But it changes. You cannot have the dust at one place if the wind blew. That dust went away, and that's what should happen in data assimilation, not only in the model. That's one example. Actually, this example is for a project that we have with the university in Korea, because you are all aware that there is a lot of dust problem in Southern Asia. Also, there is another issue. If you assimilate new observations, such as observations from GRACE satellite, then what you have to do, actually you have to do coupling between the atmosphere and the soil hydrology in order to be able to assimilate such observations. And in similar way, you have propagating information between different variables. Next important point is to use multi-model ensembles, and I am not going to go into the details, but multi-model ensembles, not only that they can be computationally more efficient, because if you don't run ensembles, you don't use as much computing, but actually they give you more ensemble spread. They give you more diversity than the simple single model ensembles. Basically, you are getting cheaper and better. Do you? Let's see the results. Actually, we do get better results using the multi-model ensembles versus single-model ensembles. These are the differences from a short experiment, data simulation experiment using Wharf model. We only had 8 ensembles here, even though we didn't even run those 8 ensembles in the multi-model hybrid. We only ran them in the single-model hybrid. And we compared the results with the ANSEP operational global statistical interpolation method. It was not a hybrid. It was just a 3D var. So, but the cost of our method is the same, approximately the same regarding computational cost as the GSI hybrid. And the results are better. And it has all other aspects that can be more general, more user-friendly, and all of that. And this is just the start. What I wanted to, as I mentioned at the beginning, I wanted to bring awareness that this is an area of research that we need to take, because there is a lot to do here. I just started. I just scratched the surface. And I am very optimistic that that can be done, because the first results are positive. But and this approach of using multi-model ensembles hybrid and approach without using adjoint model, that's promising. But I think meetings like this should be a really good platform to actually discuss the industry needs. I just mentioned a few, because I do have some experience from industry, but maybe I missed some important ones. So if we discuss more, we might be able to even improve much, much further. But I think industry is missing a lot, neglecting data assimilation opportunities. Thank you.
Thank you. Any question? No?
Shanka, this was great. You gave us a lot of good information about the types of data assimilation that are useful. What would you see as the most important type of data to include for the energy industry?
So what I think that is most important to include now are these data that actually provide information about coupling, when you actually need to use coupling in order to make any use of the data. Like the example that I showed with the GRAY satellite data that actually measures the accumulated water as a result of change in the gravity. And you cannot do much with that data unless you have a coupled model and coupled data assimilation, because the data accumulates water, the water that's all the way in the column, in the atmosphere, and in the soil. So. And what I got, we applied just the method, and I already got immediately results showing that we have some positive data assimilation impact. But once you start doing a couple data assimilation, you will start seeing what else is not good in your system, but the system as a whole. Maybe something is not good in some of the processes of Wharf. Maybe something is not even good in how we do data assimilation. But we need to start doing the whole thing together and start assimilating such observations that can actually force us to do that. Why do we need to do that? because that's, in my view, inevitable, because we, at the end, have to solve the problem that requires coupled models. And I mean, you are already using coupled model, like for Wharf Solar and things like that. I think we are on the right path, but we just have to go much, much more into that direction.
Thank you. Okay, that's all. Thank you. Thanks all speakers, and thank everyone for coming.